All right. Well, it is good to see everybody back this evening. And as Pastor Ken has already shared, tonight is a night of vision. And so in the past 3 years, we have taken one night each year in order to focus on vision at Sherwood. And as a church, we want to see people awakened by the gospel to a life of knowing Christ as well as making him known. So to kind of give you all like the backstory on this, our first night of vision was September of 2022. And we focused on introducing new formats for Sunday nights at Sherwood. And you might remember some of those different formats: nights of worldview and answering questions, worship, prayer, community, study, as well as rest. Just different formats for our Sunday nights. Our second night of vision was October of 2023, and we focused on God's kingdom activity around the world. On that particular evening, we had a panel discussion as well as pre-recorded videos that came in from ministry leaders who were serving locally and regionally as well as internationally. Our third night of vision was in February of 2024, and we focused on multiplication in the church and of the church. And on that particular night, we talked about multiplication on many different levels: multiplying disciples, multiplying effectiveness, multiplying leaders, multiplying churches. So tonight is our fourth night of vision, and we're talking about health, growth, focus, as well as impact. So let me kind of set the stage for this and kind of go back maybe 3 or so weeks, go back to January the 12th of this year. And I preached a message on Sunday morning that was entitled, "When We Seek Him and His Kingdom." And in that particular message, I gave that annual State of the Church section, just a time that we go back and we look at what has God done in and through the lives of people at Sherwood in the previous year. And whenever I'm doing one of those types of addresses, I want to go through and give a overall, like 30,000 foot view of this is what God has done in the church as a whole. And then we go back and we share some highlights from individual ministries. And if you were here on that particular Sunday, you know God has been incredibly gracious to this church. So last year, and I am by no means going through all of the different pieces, but just a quick snapshot, last year we saw hundreds of people make professions of faith in Christ. We were blessed with the highest giving year on history within the church. I talked about people being baptized, those joining the church, increases in worship attendance, as well as in Connect Group engagement. Through the Hope Center, we were able to feed thousands of families in this area, not people, families in this area, offering 17 different job skills classes and providing relief after Hurricane Helene. We saw record numbers this last year at the Alpha Pregnancy Center, an incredible year in sports and rec, the highest enrollment in the last 10 years out at SCA, a phenomenal year in the worship as well as the media ministries, multiple mission teams that went around the world, gave over $1 million last year to missions locally and internationally. Like, God gave so many opportunities for this church to be involved in his activity here as well as around the world. And we don't take that lightly. It is a blessing to be able to go through and to see what God has chosen to do in and through the people that are a part of this church. So God has given us his blessings in the day, and God has also revealed specific needs for tomorrow. So during that particular message, I shared that the leadership of this church, comprised of pastors, directors over ministries, as well as vision planning team. And for those of you that don't know what the vision planning team is, that is all the former chairmen of deacons who are actively still at the church. They come together as a part of this vision planning team. So that particular group has been watching the growth of the church as well as the health of the church. And we've seen some incredible trends that have happened on the areas of growth. And we've also begun to detect some growing areas of concern, and specifically when it comes into health of people within the church. Some of these conversations, they began even prior to me being here. They began back in 2019. And our approach on this has been to walk slowly through things, to pray over each part of things. We've wanted to remain alert to different concerns. We've wanted to discuss matters with ministry leaders in key areas all around the church. We have sought generational as well as institutional wisdom. And I am excited tonight because I get a chance to be able to share with you how it is that we sense God leading us in the days ahead. God has been gracious to answer the prayers of that leadership body as we've just been praying, how do we not only protect the growth of the church, but the health of people within the church? So tonight, I want to explain some of the pieces that we have been seeing. I want to share with you why those things have been a concern. And also, I want to share how we're going to be addressing those matters through some scheduling changes as well as strategic focus. Now, before we get into any of that, we're going to take a moment, we're going to pray, we're going to ask God's guidance, His leadership on every part for this evening. So let's pray. Father, thank you for the fact that you answer prayers. Thank you for all of the pieces that you are doing in the lives and through the ministries of people right here at Sherwood. And we ask this evening, God, that you would give us your heart in these matters. Lord, help us to have eyes that are looking forward to the mission that you have called us to. And at the same time, give us eyes to be able to see the needs that are happening all around us. Lord, we believe, as we've heard from you, that you've given us a consensus moving forward. So, Lord, we look forward to how you're going to lay out the pieces in the days ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so Henry Blackaby coined the phrase, watch to see where God is working and join him in his work. Now, that is good advice in life, and it is fantastic advice when it comes to ministry. Every church, every ministry, every mission organization needs to ask diagnostic questions to assess what is the state of the ministry there. What is the effectiveness of the ministry? Are things moving forward in vision? Are things going backwards? Are things going sideways? We need to ask diagnostic questions. So these are the questions that we're asking. Questions like, where is God working? What is God blessing? What has the wind and the favor of God behind it? What needs to be repeated this next year? What needs to be restructured this next year? What needs to be removed this next year? What needs to be started this next year? Those types of questions keep us focused on the mission of God. And let me tell you why that's the case. Because to ask those questions regularly, it means we are consistently humbling ourselves before God, opening our hands, and saying, God, take out whatever you don't want to be there. Put in whatever you want to be in place. We submit before you, recognizing we don't know all the pieces that are coming, but we trust that you do, and we trust that you can give us guidance for that. That is good, that is healthy, and that is absolutely biblical. Scripture shows that God is not always doing the same thing in the same way, through the same people, and with the same impact. We recognize without a doubt, God is always at work. That does not change. However, he has an infinite number of ways of accomplishing his purposes. Now, here's the danger that comes to pastors, ministry leaders, and churches as a whole. Here's the danger. We can be in a difficult place of thinking that if God has blessed something in the past, he will continue to bless it in the same way in the future. That is not supported in Scripture, and it is also not supported by experience. We can see that God uses things in seasons. God brings in new types of ministry to reach new generations, and he does things for his sake and for his glory. So a biblical principle that you can see in life, in ministry, and everywhere around you, it's very simple. God's favor moves with God's presence. That's the first part. God's favor moves with God's presence, and God's presence is always aligned with his activity. You will not find the activity of God apart from the presence of God. You will not find the presence of God apart from the favor of God. All of those pieces are always lined up together. Now, you and I don't know everything that God is going to do in this upcoming year, but we can prayerfully discern the areas that God is working in right now. It's something that you begin to see. It's all of a sudden areas that might have been on the edge of ministry. All of a sudden, everybody's asking the same questions, and there's a fire that comes behind it, and there's energy that comes behind it, and people begin to move in this direction, and somebody begins to resource it, and you begin to see God at work. You can begin to see the areas where God is moving in his favor and his activity. That's exactly what Henry Blackaby was talking about. Watch to see where God is working and join him in his work. If an organization does not ask diagnostic questions, we find ourselves doing the same things year after year, and please hear me, regardless of whether God is leading, blessing, moving, or even telling us to stop completely. And that's scary. Now, I think my next statement is going to be something that is not going to surprise people in this room. Sherwood is an anomaly when it comes to churches. Here's what I mean by that. Not only is Sherwood a large, strong church with a global impact, that alone makes it an anomaly. But here's the other piece that makes it an anomaly. It has five large, standalone ministries that have been birthed out of Sherwood that are actively a part of the day-to-day, week-to-week ministry of this church. By the way, there's far more than five ministries that have been birthed out of this church, but I'm only talking right now about five major ministries that are all around the city. Those would be SCA, the Hope Center, Alpha Pregnancy Center, Albany Biblical Counseling Center, and the Sports and Rec Ministry. To the best of our knowledge, there is not another church in this area, and we don't even know of another church in this country that has the same number of large, standalone ministries that have come out of a church that are weekly a part of that activity. So when you combine the internal ministries of Sherwood and the external ministries of Sherwood, many of our people are involved in ministry 5 to 7 days a week, every week, for year after year after year. And let me just tell you, that's both good and bad. It is good that we have people who are willing to volunteer and work to serve the King of Kings and to love on people. That is good. Praise God for strong volunteers. By the way, it's far better to have to pull back thoroughbreds than to beat a mule. Praise God we have people who are willing to work. Okay? It's also good that when people want to serve, they have so many incredible, vibrant, vital ministries that are in the church and around the church that they can be involved in. I mean, you don't have to look far. If somebody says, I want to serve the Lord, just help us know, like, which direction to steer you in, because there's opportunities that are everywhere. All of those pieces are good. But there's also a dark side. Excessive busyness, regardless of the good things that are happening, always will have a damaging effect. As the leadership of this church has been prayerfully looking over the growth and the health trends of the church over the past several years, we are concerned that excessive busyness is leading to unhealthy life rhythms, struggles that are happening between marriages and families, lack of parental discipleship, imbalance between work and rest, and many other pieces that come out of this. I need you to hear me. More is not always better. Bigger is not always better. Better is better. And we have to know what better is. There is a direct correlation between excessive busyness and couples not communicating well. There is a direct correlation between excessive busyness and the inability of parents to disciple their own kids. There is a direct correlation between excessive busyness and rising anxiety rates, greater levels of weariness and stress and fatigue. Now, I want to be unbelievably clear. Please hear me. The problem is not ministry. The problem is imbalance. God has graciously given incredible ministry and opportunity all around us. But the issue is, God has designed life to have a natural ebb and flow to it. Think about the ocean. The tides come in and they go out. There's this constant movement in and out. The same is true in life as a whole. God has designed life so that there's a time to work and there's a time to rest. There's a time to advance the kingdom through serving, and there is a time to retreat with the king in prayer. All of those pieces, it's a natural ebb and a flow. I shared recently that the most watched message of Sherwood in 2024 was busyness, packed schedules, no margin. That is not a coincidence. That is simply one more indicator of the conversations that we're continuing to hear as a leadership body. It's people who they love the church, they love the Lord, but they're saying, we're tired. And we need to hear people when they're saying, we're tired. We're hearing other people say, we feel overwhelmed at times. And they're doing good things. They're doing biblical things. But unfortunately, sometimes they're doing too many things. And again, when you got people who are willing to serve and willing to love the Lord and willing to go the extra mile, praise God for that. But if we keep bypassing what people are telling us, what we're doing is using people instead of loving people well. When people say, we're tired, we want to hear them when they're saying we're tired. Now again, praise God for committed people. Praise God for those who are willing to serve. But let me tell you the cycle that we're hearing people say that they get caught in. We have unbelievably responsible servants of the Lord. And that's a good problem to have right there. It's not a problem. That's just a fact. We got unbelievably responsible servants of the Lord. And here's what's taking place. They are tired many times, but they know somebody else has not stepped up to fill that position. So do you know what they keep doing? They just put their head down and they just keep plowing away and plowing away and plowing away because they don't want to let others down by allowing a need to go unmet. And here's what's happening. Some are feeling trapped, and we're hearing this in our conversations. Here's just a life principle again. When balance is lost, it always takes a toll on health, growth, focus, and impact. When balance is lost, it always takes a toll on health and growth and focus as well as impact. Now, if you've been listening closely over the last 3.5 years, you know I've been sounding the alarm about this for a while now. I have done multiple messages specifically pointing back to a need for rest. Multiple messages where I'm saying we need margin in our schedules. Multiple messages of saying if we don't take the time to address these things, there's a high price that is going to be paid. So December of 2022, I shared a message entitled Business and Rest from Mark chapter 1. December 2023, I shared a message, The Gospel and Rest, from Mark chapter 6. September of 2024 is when I shared that message, Business, Packed Schedules, No Margin, out of Luke chapter 10. I have encouraged people in our book of the month that we encourage people to read. I've encouraged people to read two books in the last couple of years, Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, as well as Margin. We began to institute a 5 to 6 week period of time where we would stop the weekday activities during the summertime to give our families and our volunteers a time to rest and to go on vacation and to just be with their families. And what we've seen on that is not only have people been grateful for it, but we've seen larger numbers come back afterwards of people excited because they've had a chance to breathe, they've had a chance to rest, and now they're willing and excited about re-engaging. Week after week, I go back to the principles of getting alone in the presence of God. message after message, I keep teaching about intimacy with God, abiding in Christ, living from the overflow, Spirit-led living, the importance of spending time with God. Here's the reason I'm bringing it up. Excessive busyness is not a new thing that's been addressed in this church. It's not. In fact, while it's not new, I don't know if people are clearly hearing the damage that is happening right now around us. Until we connect the damage with what's happening in excessive busyness, we will not find the incentive that is needed to reprioritize what we're doing, to change how we're doing what we're doing, and to find healthier life rhythms for people moving forward. It is disingenuous for us to talk revival if we are too busy to spend time at the feet of Jesus. It is prideful for us to recognize all of the teachings that God has put on rest through the Bible and to think that somehow that doesn't apply to us. We have to take each part seriously. You may remember there's a story over in Mark chapter 6 of a time in which Jesus was addressing the same issues with his disciples. They had gone through this extended season of their days being filled with teaching and healing and ministry and miracles and travel and training and relationships and all the stress that goes with all of those things. And he told his disciples in Mark chapter 6, verse 31, "Come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a while." In other words, take your foot off the gas. Step away from the activity. Step away from the ministry and rest a while. It's important that we do that, that there's time that we come away. Here's the principle. If we don't come away, we eventually come apart. It will be manifested in one way or the other. There's a statement that is circulated through Christian circles for years. If Satan can't make you bad, he'll keep you busy. And one of the things that happens in busyness is we begin to let down our guards on the things that matter the most. One of the things that happens in busyness is we get so involved in activity, we lose sight of intimacy. One of the things that happens in busyness is we get so active in the work of God, we think we can do it for God as opposed to relying upon Him to do it in and through us. And before you know it, it is now the tail wagging the dog. It is our activity moving the things forward in the church. And that's not what we want to be a part of. Scripture says one day, our works, they're going to be evaluated. And those things that are wood, hay, and stubble, they'll be consumed in front of us. And my concern, my heart as a pastor, my heart as a disciple of Jesus, is I don't want to live life in my efforts doing things that I thought up as opposed to sitting with God and allowing Him to do it through me. I want to be able to one day look my Savior in the face and say, it's all been led by you and fueled by you and empowered by you, and it's all for your glory. That's how I want to live, and I believe that's how we want to live as a church. And for that to happen, we have to have the ebb and flow service as well as Sabbath. Time in the presence of God as well as time that we are serving others. In Wayne Cordero's book, Leading on Empty, he made this statement. Solitude is a chosen separation for refining your soul. Isolation is what you crave when you neglect the first. When there is not enough time to come away into rest, we begin to crave isolation. We find ourselves wanting to get away from people and ministry and problems and just find a quiet hole somewhere and try to regain composure and balance. We also find ourselves sometimes where the things that we used to love, we now see as a burden to endure as opposed to a blessing to experience. So, you all know I've addressed this topic before, but I feel like I need to hit this again at this time. We can make a lot of spiritual sounding excuses for excessive busyness. I'm probably one of the worst in this. I can make excuses like exhaustion is the price you pay to serve God at a higher level. And I can make myself sound better when I say something like that. I can make a statement out there as like serving the Lord and being tired. That's just serving God. Like real leaders are going to work tired. Like that sounds good. Kind of like fire up the troops in the moment when everybody else is exhausted. But whenever you walk away and try to hold it against Scripture, I don't see that in Scripture. I'm guilty of redlining life in ministry. And at the same time, thinking God will just continue to sustain me even when I ignore His calls to come and rest. Everywhere we look, we see God's design for rest. God built cycles of rest into our days as well as into our physiology. He made us with a need to sleep at night. And He created a day so that the sun is up for only so long, and then all of a sudden the sun goes back down and the stars appear. There's a cycle of rest that He has created. God built cycles of rest into agriculture. After times of production, trees and crops need time of rest. God built cycles of rest into land. If you overwork the same piece of land, it robs the soil of the nutrients that is needed for future production. God built rest right into the creation narrative. After creating for 6 days, He modeled rest on the seventh day. God built cycles of rest into our week. He commanded His people, work for 6 days, rest for one on the Sabbath. God built the need for rest into our spiritual walk. Jesus invites all of those who are weary and heavy laden to come to Him, and He will give rest to your souls. When God is that clear about rest, and God's people are continually exhausted from refusing to stop, it's not a badge of honor. It is the culmination of habitual disobedience. There's always a price to pay for disobedience. Unfortunately, right now, we're beginning to see some of the price in our marriages and in our families in the church. Our kids are paying a price. Our souls are paying a price. Our volunteers are paying a price. Our prayer lives are paying a price. Let's just talk about that last one for just a moment. Excessive busyness is costing us clarity as we pray. If we're constantly moving, when are we stopping to hear from God? How are we hearing from God? Are we actually hearing from God? Or are we just doing the best we can and just asking God to bless it? There's always a price to pay. Those are some of the health concerns that have caught our attention over the last few years. If things continue to move forward and we don't make meaningful change, if we don't help people discover healthy life rhythms, if we keep bypassing scriptural principles on rest, there is going to be a heavy price that we pay in this church, in our families, in our kids, and our kids in future generations being engaged in the community of the church. There's a price to pay for this. I know there's not a single person in this room that's saying, I think it's worth it to pay that price. We want God's best. I think if there's something that you all have maybe seen for me over the last few years, it is I love numbers. I love seeing God at work. I love celebrating God at work. I love praying and saying, God, would you allow us to see 250 people come to faith in Christ this year? And God giving us 259 people come to faith in Christ this year. And I'm like, God is so specific in his prayers. And I love to see those things. But it's not just about the growth of the church. We also have to be concerned about the health of the body. So as a leadership team, we have been asking for God's guidance about a ministry plan that brings greater balance. How can we have greater focus, pockets of rest, protection for people, stronger biblical community, as well as even greater engagement outside the church? And God has been incredibly gracious to answer. We're excited about the next steps forward. Let me just say this. Vision does not change. The vision that I'm about to talk about, vision has not changed. We're still wanting to see people awakened by the gospel to a life of knowing Christ and making him known. What I'm talking about is the processes and the mechanisms and the systems that lead towards that vision. Those things change in time. They change by circumstances. They change based on needs. But the vision itself, it stays the same. So here are four changes that are happening in the ministry schedule as well as strategic focus to help with the health and the growth and focus as well as impact. Here's the first of those. We are restructuring parts of the prayer ministry to engage more people in prayer throughout the week. Think about that one for just a moment. We are restructuring parts of the prayer ministry to engage more people in prayer throughout the week. Now, some of these changes have already been put into place over the last couple of years. The issue is we've been moving so fast, we've not had time to even tell you about what's been put in place. That's telling us something right there. So there's going to be a greater emphasis on the online prayer wall. One of the things that a lot of people don't know is you can go right on our website to our prayer wall. You can put a prayer request on that site. All you got to do is just take a moment, put the prayer request in. It will go through a filter to make sure that it's appropriate. It's one that everybody can see. And then literally people are going on, and as they pray over it, they hit a checked button, and that person gets information back in that moment to say, someone just prayed for you over this prayer request. What an encouraging thing for somebody who is saying, is anybody praying for me, to go, and all of a sudden there's another email and another email and another email of people who are praying. But that's something that people can do where they are, and they can also do it in a time that fits for them. So we're going to be encouraging greater emphasis with our online prayer wall, introducing houses of prayer. That's going to be a piece that comes out this year. Continuing emphasis on prayer walking our city, enlisting more people in our 10,000 strong. We're going to be introducing different ways for people to pray before the services and giving different guides, helping people pray to know how to pray and what to pray for as they come into services. There's going to be a number of other initiatives as well. We're going to continue some of the same things that we have been doing within the prayer ministry, but ultimately, we want to give more people a chance to engage in prayer where they are and at a time that works best for them. Everybody cannot get to the campus at a certain time to engage in certain things of prayer. So we want to make sure those who want to pray have an opportunity to do exactly that. Here's the second piece. We are removing Sunday night services to encourage people to practice the discipline of rest. This change will give our volunteers, our staff, and our families an opportunity to have a meaningful rest on Sunday. For many people, Sunday at Sherwood is not a day of rest. It is one of the most stressful days of their week. Many are here by 7 in the morning, and they don't leave until after 8 p.m. at night. And after working and serving and being in meetings throughout the entire day, then Monday's still coming the next day, and the whole week starts over, and it continues to move forward from there. Once again, I am grateful to God that we have people who are willing to serve. But when balance is lost, there is a ripple effect on individuals, on families, on ministries, and on the church as a whole. Marriages are stressed. Parents are unable right now to disciple their own kids. More and more people in the body are dealing with increased stress and anxiety in health problems. It has to be about more than pursuing vision. It also has to be about caring for people well. If we hurt people to accomplish vision, we lose. If we use people to accomplish vision, we lose. But if we care for our people well, and we're concerned about their health, their family, their marriage, their soul, people know they're valued. People knowing that they're valued, and those who have an opportunity to rest, here's what happens. They're more excited about their walk with God. They're more willing to engage and to help. They are more fulfilled in the roles that they're serving in. They're more eager to take the next mountain with the people of God and for the Lord. And by the way, there is always another mountain that's coming. We need people healthy for that. We want to help people so that as they worship on a Sunday morning, they know how to process what they've heard and how to talk about it with others around them. We're wanting to see more families and more friends have meaningful meals together, getting to know their neighbors. Do you know one of the pieces that we have learned out of our Sherwood on Mission class? There are people who have been believers for 20, 30, 40 years. There are people in the class who they were challenged to go and to share the gospel with their neighbor. And over again, we kept hearing the same thing. That is, I don't know my neighbors, but they've lived next door to them for 7 years, 10 years, 15 years, and they don't know their neighbors. How can we keep walking away from those who are next door and saying, I got to get to the other side of town if we've not taken time to care for those God put right around us? So we want to help people to get to know their neighbors. We want to encourage our connect groups. Maybe it's once a quarter, so take time to get together with your connect group. We got connect groups that are saying, we want to connect. That seems like a pretty important thing with connect groups. But they're saying, we can't find time to connect. That's a problem. We can either keep running beyond that, or we can say, let's stop what we're doing and listen to what the people are saying we need. Now, here's what you're not hearing me say. This is not what I'm saying. This is not what I'm saying. Are you all sure you're going to hear me here? This is not what I'm saying. I'm not saying we remove Sunday night services and just fill it with a bunch of other stuff. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is we need to help people understand a proper balance of ebb and flow of in His presence and out of His presence, of with their family in family worship and back in the house of God in corporate worship. We need to help people understand what that looks like. And I'm going to tell you, that's going to be one of the hardest challenges of this upcoming year. People in culture as a whole are not used to stopping. This is countercultural. Somebody might say, Paul, are we caving to culture? No, we are going against every part of culture. What we're talking about doing is rediscovering biblical Christianity. What we're talking about is helping people understand how can your soul flourish in community and in your family, and how can parents disciple their kids well. How do you love your neighbor well? We're trying to help people do that in a world that is constantly demanding more. We're trying to teach people what a life of balance is to look like. Number three, we are reworking Wednesday nights to include pieces that God is blessing for greater impact. We're going to be adding in on our Wednesday night format, worldview nights, answering question nights, biblical counselor training, leadership development classes, preaching and teaching classes, and other pieces into the semester system that is already in place. These additions allow us to focus on major needs we're seeing right now, but we've not had time to be able to address. Also, it allows us to be able to bring more communicators into the weekly activities of the church, to train believers to better live on mission for God, and to infuse new opportunity into the heart and the life of the church. Many of the pieces that I just described are going to be recorded. They're going to be available. That way, if somebody is a part of another activity on a Wednesday night, they can still watch those particular pieces. We don't want people to lose out on those. But here's the thing. Instead of there being another night, we're going to work those into a night that people are already here. There's going to be more opportunity on the same night. Number four, we are reimagining children's ministry to more effectively reach the next generation. Sherwood has kept a huge emphasis on the next generation, and rightfully so. We want to add fuel to that particular fire. We want to continue to move forward with greater focus in that area. Every generation is different. And while the message does not change, the methods to reach that next generation have to change. I've already mentioned some of those struggles that parents have told us about, where they don't feel equipped to disciple their kids, or they're saying, I know what to do, I just don't have time to be able to do it. So we're addressing some of those through these changes, but also we've started rolling out different resources to help parents in this area. We're creating classes, small cohorts of parents, couples coming together, mentoring opportunities, video as well as other resources, step-by-step systems, helping parents to be able to disciple their own kids. We're going to be releasing additional resources. The first of those will be at the Connection Center this next Sunday. We want parents to know that our heart is to partner with you to get the gospel in your kids and to help you shepherd your kids well. Now, I'm going to say there's already some great strides that are being made in our children's ministry, our student ministry, and our young adult ministry. I would argue that we have the strongest leadership teams in children's ministry and in student ministry of any church of any size, regardless of where they're at. We are blessed with unbelievable leaders and volunteers. But we have to give those leaders and volunteers the time that's needed to refresh their soul and to create the resources that are needed for these parents. Statistically speaking, 85% of those who will ever come to faith in Christ do so by the age of 18. We have to keep a major emphasis on children's ministry and student ministry. Those are the four main changes with scheduling as well as strategic focus. But I'm going to now give you the goals we're trying to accomplish. There's three goals we're trying to accomplish in this. First, we're trying to help people regain and reprioritize their time on the things that matter most. What are we saying matters most? Soul health, intimacy with God, family time, genuine discipleship, missional living, biblical community. We want people to experience rhythms of rest in their life, quality time with their families. By the way, we cannot ignore our families for 51 and 50 weeks out of the year. Take them on vacation for a week and think we've made up for it in a week of vacation. Your kids will not remember all that happened on vacation, but they will remember a mom and dad who were willing to fight for them to make sure that they know the Lord, that they know the Word of God, that they are treasured and valued in their house, that they are being poured into and discipled well by their parents. So we want to help people experience rhythms of rest, quality time with their families, connection with their neighbors, as well as deeper relationships within their connect groups. Here's the second goal that we're trying to accomplish. We're trying to create space for Spirit-led living. Between Sherwood and the five outside ministries that I've already described connected to Sherwood, the schedule is currently filled 7 days a week. It's already filled seven. So now here's my question. How can we practice Spirit-led living if God is leading us in one direction, but the time's already been allocated and we got no time left? Where do we get that time back from? We're wanting to help free space to be able to engage in Spirit-led living. And here's the third piece, the third goal. We're trying to help our people define faithful Christian living today. If you were to have a two-week-old believer come to you and say, I just placed faith in Christ. I want to be faithful. What does it look like to be a faithful Christian? How would you respond to that person right now? Here's the way the church has often defined faithful Christian living. It's somebody who is practicing the spiritual disciplines. They're in church every time the doors are open. They're using their gifts to serve others. They're involved in a connect group. They are giving of their tithes and offerings. They are sharing their faith with others. Like that's a lot of what we talk about with faithful Christian living. And by the way, there's not a single thing wrong with what I just said. All of those are good things. All of those are biblical. There's nothing wrong with that. But here's the question. If that's our definition for faithful Christian living, how do you share that with a single mom working two jobs with three kids who is just trying to read the Bible to her kids as much as she can and to pray for them faithfully and to get them in church as often as she can? Are we telling her she's not faithful walking with the Lord because she's not involved in all of the other activities that I just described? How does that work for a Christian man who maybe does every single one of those things, and yet he ignores his spouse and his kids in the process? Are we saying that's faithful Christian living? You see, if we can't help somebody define faithfulness and give them the target to shoot towards it, we're just giving them ideas and principles and opportunity without helping them focus in. Religion always says, do more. Doesn't matter what you're doing right now, you could do more. You could read the Bible more, you could pray more, you could go to church more, you could serve more, you could give more, you could share your faith more, you could always do more. Religion screams, you should do more. The gospel tells us Jesus did it all. Our identity, our position before God is secure in Christ. And as we are in Christ, He leads us into things He's calling us to do. But we're not doing those to prove ourselves to God. We're not doing those to gain standing before God. We do those at the overflow of an intimate relationship with God. So if you were looking for, Paul, how would you define faithful Christian living? Let me just give us a starting point. Just write it down. Hash it out. Take time with the Lord. This is something we might revise it over time, but this is a starting point to me as I've spent time with that question. Here's how I would define it. Faithful Christian living is pursuing Jesus as a disciple, growing in biblical community, and living life on mission with God. Pursuing Jesus as a disciple, growing in biblical community, and living life on mission with God. Now, if we start with that, a person will engage in those areas in different ways based on their age, based on their availability, based on their health, based on the opportunities that are around them. But people can move towards consistently three big categories: discipleship, community, and mission. So what are our next steps with this? Well, some of the changes, as I said, they've already been in the works for a while. Things in the prayer ministry, changes that have been taking place in our children's ministry, Wednesday night activities, those pieces are already in motion right now. Over the next 6 to 7 months, you're going to see more of these pieces come into play. And a reason for that is because working on the semester system, there's a spring semester, first part of the year, there's a fall semester. So we're already in the spring. The summer is a time that we try to give people a break. So we're going to be working right now on things that will be unveiled in the fall of this year, the fall semester. Tonight is going to be our last Sunday night service. For the health, the rest, the volunteers, the time that is needed for people to move forward, we got to give time for rest. We are already working right now on the Sunday afternoon pieces, the Sunday night parts, to find out where they fit within this new schedule. I'm going to ask you, if you would, give us time to get all the pieces worked out. This next week, we are going to provide the first of a series of resources teaching people about rest and about family discipleship. The things that we're trying to encourage through these resources is helping people understand the four quiet disciplines, helping parents know how do you lead a family devotion time, helping parents understand how do they disciple their kids, helping everyone, individuals, families, parents, know how to discuss the morning message and to pull out the truths and the application pieces so that they can live those pieces out. So many times we don't need another message. We need to act on the one we just heard. And sometimes we keep going to the next one and the next one and the next one and the next one. And we become consumers of messages instead of doers of God's word. The next piece is in March, I'm going to start a 6-week series focused on finding rest. This is a need across the body within the church. So we're going to focus on God's design in Sabbath, principles of rest, how rest impacts us physically and spiritually as well as emotionally, and how people can practice meaningful rest. Also, we need your prayers, and we also need your support. I've shared a lot tonight already. And I recognize for some people, it's like, Paul, this is overwhelming. There's a lot that's going on here. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Process in prayer. Process in prayer. Ask God, God, give me your heart in these areas. Help me to see what you're seeing. Process in prayer. I can tell you for those who have been on staff, those who are key directors serving in different areas of ministry, those who are part of the deacon body, those who are part of the vision planning team, as we've been walking through these pieces and letting individuals know what's coming along the way, we are getting some incredibly encouraging words. Probably some of my favorites so far was somebody who wrote back and said, for the first time, I feel like I can breathe again. That's what we want to hear. Someone else wrote back and they said, I know how to teach a Sunday school, but I don't know how to disciple my kids. I am looking forward to learning how to disciple my kids. Somebody else wrote back and they said, it's going to be different. They said, it's been needed for a while. I praise God for that. I understand. Change is never easy, but at the same time, process in prayer. And here's the last thought I want to share with you. Our desire is to foster both growth and health within the church. We cannot sacrifice the second to accomplish the first. As a leadership team, we have been praying, we have been seeking God, we have been in meeting after meeting after meeting after meeting. We have come at things from multiple angles, bringing in generational and institutional wisdom all along the way. And here's what I can tell you without a doubt. We still believe the greatest days of Sherwood are ahead of us. We look forward to all that God is going to do in 2025. And listen, we look forward to what ministry in this church can look like if it's done with greater balance, encompassing prayer, healthier leaders, equipped parents, and refreshed volunteers. All I could say is, the devil better get ready. Because if God has done this much through this church through all of these years, when we begin to see some of these other pieces worked out, the sky's the limit as to what our Savior can do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your people. We thank you for the opportunities that you have given us as a church. We thank you for the gracious reminders, come away and sit with me. The gracious reminders, those who are weary and heavy laden, come and you'll find rest for your soul. God, thank you for that. Thank you for the unity that you have brought through the leadership and through the body. God, help us to process things in prayer. And Lord, we will be grateful for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week.